Our text today comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. It can be found on page 193 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Listen for God's word. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descends is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are so thankful and grateful for this day that you've made, this opportunity to gather together to worship you, to sing praises to your name, to come and be fed at the table, and to be fed by the reading and the hearing of your word. Feed us this morning, God, for we are here to learn from you. In Christ's name. Amen. So if you were here last week, we're looking at this chapter, Ephesians chapter 4. And the first part of this chapter that we talked about last week, the first six verses, talk about the unity of the church and the importance of unity. And we talked about the fact that for many people, it feels as if rather than living in the United States of America, it feels as if we're living in the divided states of America, because division has become the word of the day. There is this increasing sense of people living fractured lives that begin perhaps at home, that extend into communities, that extend into our nation. And those fractures and cracks that are dividing people seem to be getting deeper and wider rather than narrower. And opposed to many of us are perceiving as to be the reality of the world around us is the clear teaching of Scripture calling us to be people of unity. That division is often a sign of evil working its way in, creating conflict and tension and disruption, rather than the peace that God intends for all of creation to be united as one. And so we're very suspicious, and we should be concerned about the divisions that we see happening around us. And that last week we talked about that, you know, the beginning of really addressing this is to look at ourselves first of all. That the secret of overcoming division really is humility. Humility is that beautiful quality of being able to look at ourselves and reflect and say, am I part of the problem? Am I the one, because of my own agenda, my own arrogance, my own failure to understand or listen, am I the one who's creating the division here, and is there something I need to do? Am I so concerned about promoting my agenda making other people see things from my point of view, that I've stopped listening to the fact that there may be some people of goodwill who simply have a different way of looking at things. Humility is the secret to unity. Interestingly, this text, though, goes on. While the first six verses talk about being one in Christ, that there is one body, one spirit, that you've been called to one hope, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. The next sentence, the next word of the next sentence that began our reading today is the word but. But. But is a dangerous word. Stevie Wonder wrote a song. He said, "I have come to the conclusion that but is just a way of asking for permission to lay something heavy on one's head." That's a great line. But is a word that always should get our attention. And it certainly does in this context. Here he is, the writer of Ephesians has been talking eloquently about unity. We need to be one. We need to be all connected. We need to be of one mind and one heart. But, and suddenly it shifts. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then he goes on, he says, and the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. The writer of Ephesians is making an argument for the importance of diversity. That while unity is the ultimate goal, unity in a biblical sense does not mean uniformity or conformity. It does not mean that everyone is to be walking in lockstep, that there is some kind of cookie-cutter Christian that everybody's supposed to look like and act like, and that's what it means to really be a Christian, is to have this particular affect or this particular language or dress this particular way. My first church was in a little place called Largo, Florida, which is just south of Clearwater. And a lot of people have heard of Clearwater, Florida. They should know it because it's the spring training home of the Philadelphia Phillies, which is very important. But unfortunately, it also has notoriety as the international headquarters of the Church of Scientology. And I'm telling you, it was a very uncomfortable feeling to go to downtown Clearwater near the headquarters building, and all of these people who were studying or part of this Church of Scientology had the same uniform, and they walked about, and they had this same demeanor, and they were very cold and kind of suspicious. It was so uncomfortable, but there was this sense that if you were part of this group, you were expected to look and act and behave in a very similar way. You were expected to conform to that image. The Bible says otherwise. The Bible says what makes a community strong isn't that everybody is the same. The strength of unity comes from recognizing that we are all different. But rather than being put off by that, learning to celebrate it. In the same way that the secret to unity is humility, so it is with diversity. It's recognizing that not all people are the same, but God has created us for the same purpose. And it's learning to understand that that makes the church a profoundly important community. And I would say what makes the church strong is also what makes communities and nations strong. The secret of this great country of ours, whose birthday we celebrate on Tuesday, is not that everyone is the same. It's the fact that we are all different. It's the beauty and the wonder of how this one place has called people from so many different places and countries and backgrounds and languages, and through our common constitution have formed a people from varied backgrounds into one people. And to hear some of these loud voices today saying that some people who look different or act different aren't welcome here, I believe is to miss out on the secret of what makes this country so great in the first place. This idea of joining people from very different walks of life with very different gifts together in a community is not a new idea that happened in 1776, folks. It comes right out of the Scripture. The book of Ephesians was very concerned about how do we bring people who have grown up in very different backgrounds, Jews and Gentiles, into one common community of faith. How do we bring people who have different traditions and languages and upbringings and personalities together as one? And the secret is this: by honoring and respecting those differences for what they are, but harnessing them to a common vision of maturity in Jesus Christ. The secret of the church is the fact that God gives different gifts to different people. No one in the church can do everything. I've tried it and it doesn't work very well. Nobody can do everything. There's simply too much to be done. There's simply too many different people to be reached. There's too many different aches and pains. Nobody can do everything. But friends, we all can, not just can, must do something. We must do that thing which God has created us to do uniquely. You have a role. You have a gift that God has given you that is intended to be used for the building up of the body of Christ. Childlike faith is faith that is undeveloped, faith that's never been tried, someone who's never stepped forward. Learning to understand and explore and discover the gift that God has given you and then put it to use and harness it for the building up of the community is a beautiful thing to have in your life. It's the most important thing. And the great news is we don't all have the same gifts. We're all different. Some people are really, really great with kids. Jumping up and down up here, going crazy. A few of you, probably that's not your calling, but you might be really good with teens, or you might be great with adults. Some people are quiet. They're sort of the behind-the-scenes people. Other people are out front. Some people are excellent communicators and teachers. Other people express their faith by the works of their hands and their feet. Some people love to serve the poor. Some people love to serve the hurting. Some people have a special gift with people who are in recovery. Some people have a special gift with kids from broken families. Some people have a special gift of modeling generosity for people who have way too much money and don't know what to do with it. We have different gifts and different talents and different abilities. But when everybody begins to mobilize and energize those gifts, amazing things happen. What the book of Ephesians says is that God will select from the body certain people to have functions that then equip the saints for ministry. That's you. You're a saint. Did you know that? Those of you who come out of a Catholic background, you think there's only certain saints, but here in the Presbyterian Church, we're all saints. I'll give you a day. If you want a day, we'll give you a day, if that's what you need, in order to understand that when the Bible says the gifts he gave were that some were apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, he's talking about every single person who knows and comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And the purpose of that is to build up the body of Christ. Now, it's interesting, this list of these five offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The first three are offices that are really beyond the local church. Apostles are people who go out and plant churches. Evangelists are people who go out and speak to large numbers of people but move around. Someone like a Billy Graham would be a modern-day evangelist. Prophets are people who speak in a larger public setting. Someone like a Tony Campolo or Chuck Colson. Some people who speak to larger audiences publicly about the work of Jesus Christ. But in the local church, you have pastors and teachers. The pastoral function is, the pastor means literally a shepherd. The pastoral function are the people who kind of mobilize the people and care for them, make sure their needs are met, very much along the line of what we, you and I, call in our church deacons. And teachers are the ones who are the spiritual leaders, people that you and I would think of perhaps as elders. Those are the two essential functions that leadership plays in the church, and we're about to ordain and install some people in those particular offices, pastoral offices and teaching or leadership offices. Their purpose, friends, is not to do all the work so you can sit there and say, "Great job, APC." Their job is to get you to do the thing that God has called you to do, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, so that everybody gets blessed. And friends, this takes incredible diversity. The folks that we are going to ordain and install this morning are very different one from another, I can promise you. These people do not walk in lockstep. They are not cookie cutters. They are extraordinarily different one from another. They have different temperaments, different backgrounds, different experiences. But friends, they do walk in lockstep in one way. They love Jesus Christ and they love this church, and they're willing to serve you by leading as elders and deacons. It's a beautiful thing to see someone discovering gifts for ministry. Someone who maybe was on the sidelines or maybe not even in the playing field who are now carrying the ball. For instance, there's this guy, J.C. Fowler. 3 years ago, the guy was on the sideline. He was on the pickup team. He was out on the street somewhere. I'm not sure what he was doing, but he wasn't here. And 2 years ago, somebody got a hold of him named Jesus Christ. He says, "JC, you need to go to Maine. You need to be part of a mission trip. You need to get out there and serve people with your hands and your feet and start to make a difference." And that guy came back and he was on fire. He met Jesus Christ. He got involved. This guy who didn't know the gifts that he had became a youth leader. He became a young adult inspirer. He got other people who were struggling in different ways together. He's formed a group that has 30, 40 people coming out every week struggling with all kinds of issues in their life. He's invited so many people here to church. It's amazing. There's a guy sitting next to him this morning, another guy he just invited 2 weeks ago, Travis Lazat. So happy to see Travis here this morning. JC has now been called by the session of the church to be the interim coordinator for senior high and young adult ministry to fill in for James. And JC, you need to understand something, buddy. This isn't about you. You are to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's our job. The job of the leaders of the church is to empower and equip people, to help all the other JCs who are sitting out here who don't know how incredibly gifted you are, the talents that you have, to help you discover what those are and deploy you for ministry to make a difference in the world for Jesus Christ and to build up the church. That is what this is about. And so we celebrate. We celebrate the diversity. The different ages. The different characters and characteristics, the different backgrounds. We're so glad that God brought you here this morning. No matter where you've come from, no matter where you've been, you're welcome here and you're needed here. Your gifts, your talent, your personality, your interest, the thing that God has equipped you to do is a vital part of the life of this church. If we're going to be everything God wants us to be, we need you on the front lines, serving. And so, friends, the question is always, what are you going to do? How are you going to serve? Where will you plug in? Where will you find your passion, your joy? Lord, we just thank you so much for the incredible diversity of your people, God. We don't all look the same. We don't all act the same. Some of us have traveled really difficult roads. Some of us are traveling a hard road right now. Other people have had it really easy. Some of us have world-class education. Some of us are still just opening and learning how to read, opening books and learning how to read. We're all different, God. And yet, Lord, we are united by one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so, God, out of this incredible diversity of people, create a beautiful unity. From all of our different gifts, God, create a healthy, strong church here in Allentown so that we can continue to bless one another, bless this community, and bless this world in the way that you would have us. In Christ's name, amen.